Johnny, great to see you. And first of all, you know, as a Scot, speaking to an Englishman who has created one of the most iconic moments in sport, have you ever gone through a conversation since 2003 when that hasn't come up?
It's funny, yeah, it's provided an interesting moment to relate to and how that has shaped my life a little bit. It's really, really an interesting topic. But the more I move away from it, the more I come to understand when I look back on it, it wasn't something you said, it's something you created. It's like, yes, to a degree, but it was largely a lot of something that just came through me. It was something that I was there to experience. And so I don't take a huge amount of credit for it. And so when we have conversations about it, I'm quite playful with it. And I'm quite sort of in awe of how these things can happen. You know, they can just unfold and in a quite humble way. It was like that was an interesting moment, but it doesn't play so much of a big part in my life now.
Breaking down that moment, because that's what it was. It was that split moment in 2003, and the ball arrives. Have you got any doubt whatsoever as to what's going to happen next?
There's an interesting experience there for me because I've funded a lot of my career up to that point through or with doubt. That was kind of my driving force, was basically this understanding that everything was going to go to pot unless I controlled it. And that energy, that fierce need to know everything and cover every base and turn over every stone in preparation, that was where I derived my confidence. And yet on the field, it was a very different kind of relationship with life I had. I didn't have that doubt, but I didn't have a mind-based version of, I'm really confident it'll work out either. There was just an engagement in what I was doing, and I was willing to just fully involve myself in it. And I think a lot of the doubt was where I've been doing my kicking whilst thinking the whole time about what might happen, what's this? But when you live in the now, there's no consequence, so you can't have doubt. And that moment for me was the ultimate, just do it. And so much so that I don't even remember doing it.
How much sports psychology was there around the time? Because you hear now the people that have excelled in their field, they talk about the sports psychology and resilience that you need to have and focus.
I agree. And at the time, there wasn't as much definitely as there is now. But to be honest, a lot of that drive and a lot of that is within people anyway. It's very difficult to construct that and suddenly say, right, go there and want this if you don't already want it. And I think finding that within you is a real privilege. And I had that massively, that drive and that focus. The issue, I think, has been for me is it was always about, could I relax with it instead of fight it? And could I, you know, because the classic thing is you have that drive and you get that nervous feeling that comes up in your stomach, and automatically that drive and that nervous feeling can connect in a way that's not helpful. You start to view that as a threat, you know, that you need to sort out. And when you've got that drive and that need to achieve, you then go into overdrive when it comes to trying to sort out that problem. But it's often worth asking, is there really a problem? Because that nervous feeling for me was just what I came to realize was just an added strength and my body readying itself for what it knew for me was important. But I kind of got in the way of that a lot. And sports psychology, I think, really helps you to get out of the way and come to a space of trusting and allowing. And it's in the not trying to control that you kind of find a lot of your influence and control and your performance too.
This might seem a daft question, but actually, given everything you've said there, did you enjoy the experience of playing?
It depends on your definition of enjoyment. I think it's a bit like joy. For one point, people were saying you really need to go and enjoy your aerobics. So I went out there and tried to laugh on the field and smile, and I hated it. I realized that my enjoyment was already taking place, and it comes back to that thing about just being deeply involved and present. And for me, yes, in which case I enjoyed a lot of it. The problem became when, you know, that kind of build up, which I didn't enjoy so much because I didn't really allow myself to be present. When you're leading up to a game, you're too busy thinking about what if, and after the game, you're too busy thinking about what if in the other sense, you know, the regretting sense. But in the game itself was my release. The problem was a bit later on was that I started to lose some of the game because I was in my mind during that game as well, you know, running around thinking, how's it going? What am I doing? What have I done wrong? What's going to go next? And a lot of that can just, for me, was about sort of becoming someone special. And that meant that I was running around trying not to lose something I thought I had, instead of that younger experience where you go out there and you just go, well, I'm just out here giving it a go. Whereas later on, it was, I'm someone special and I can't afford to lose this. And, you know, this must happen this way for me. And so, yeah, that humbling experience and life kind of humbled me a lot by But yeah, but making sure I understood that I was not special. And eventually I got the message, I think.
But as we said earlier on, you know, what you've achieved, not many people will ever do that. And that, by definition, makes you special. It didn't come without a cost, though, and it's well documented, your mental health struggles. Do you remember the first time you thought, I might have a problem here? And as a follow-up to that, can I talk about it? And who do I talk to about it, and when?
I recognise throughout my youth, I sort of struggled with lots and lots of things because my main driving force was fear. I had a big fear of something in my life which I didn't understand. And as a result, I constructed myself in a way to deal with that. But it was an anti-life movement, that construction. And therefore, I just kept finding myself at moments of impasse, you know, kind of standoffs with life where I got stuck because how I thought things had to be couldn't be. That perfectionism, that need. And so, you know, I investigated that as much as I could. But really, in terms of the mental health thing, for me, it was ultimately just that relationship with being able to become, I guess, humbled and courageous enough to face what was my issue and not run away from it. And it still is my issue, you know, now it comes up. But I find my relationship with that challenge is so different now, and that I understand with that challenge, it's a movement with life, and it's also a collaboration with this universe around me to find out what's really possible. And there's no better journey than that. The one of fighting it in order to become special is great, but there's a cost to pay for that for everyone. And for me, the whole point of playing rugby and all that kind of stuff was that it was my passion, and it led me to experiencing the now. And what I've done is swap that out for some stuff, you know, whether it was victories, whether it was identity, whether it was reputation, whether it was, you know, the plaudits from supporters or for that feeling of being important. It's like letting that go brings you to the now. And that's where I feel really important in my life when I'm not someone special and I'm just being. But, you know, we all get identified a bit with what we're doing, and it's important because we all have roles to play. But yeah, crikey, that's the big message to me that's been my challenge the whole time, has been being guided back to realizing that, you know, this struggle is an opportunity to find something very, very powerful. And, you know, and that I feel is a privilege, and I'll follow it as far as I possibly can.
Can I ask you how much of it is still a struggle now for you in 2024?
Yeah, all the time. I recognize lots and lots of familiar patterns coming up in me, whether it be over things. You know, I do a podcast now, which is very much aligned with this kind of exploration. You know, I have a foundation, I do other things, I've got business things, but you get caught in that urgency. I've got to do this because it's going to do this and it's going to do this. And I end up, all I want to do is bring my full self to it, and I end up doing the opposite. But saying that, also on top of that, when I've mentioned the familiar old patterns, they can really spring up. You know, a couple of years ago, I had a one that just came out of the blue, and suddenly, you know, you're back there in deep distress, not knowing who you are, not knowing anything. You can't even make your way through the next minute. You're sort of shivering and wondering what the hell's going on, and you just panic and all this, and it comes up. But again, there's something bigger about that. It's not about me saying, look at me compared to everyone else and look at what I've done. It's like, that's such a small picture, but the whole picture about struggle as well is the same relationship to say, I have a degree of reverence for it, to understand that this is an evolutionary journey, and it's an evolutionary step that's taking place. And it always leads me to a greater, more expansive experience of life, more joyful. But at the time, you know, I really, really compassionately feel for people that are struggling, because I think it's so difficult. You can feel so much like you're not important, and all these other people having these great apparent lives, and the world celebrates these people, but it's the people that are struggling are so, so important. And anything we can do to get around them and simply be there for them, to let them know that it's okay, and that, you know, we'll support them whatever happens, and that every moment they're going through is a transformational sort of moment of incredible power for us all.
How much of a relief did it feel when you were able to talk openly about it, and indeed in doing so, support others?
Yeah, I think initially, about sort of 26, 27, I was really struggling, and I just happened to speak to someone who was in the same sort of rugby setup as me, and found out they were struggling too. They put me onto someone they'd spoken to, they connected with. I've spoken to a lot of people before this, but never really connected with anyone. And this bit of professional help I had really just felt like a connection, mainly I think because the person who was delivering the help had actually been a sufferer themselves. So it wasn't a, here's me with a clipboard, I'm going to tell you what's going on. It was, here's me, we're going to share. The message of that was that this was not a kind of random thing. This is something that people all throughout life had been dealing with. In fact, all the major sort of messengers of life, be it in all the different spiritual traditions or whatever, this is the fundamental thing, and you're experiencing it now, and these people have devoted their life to it. And suddenly I realized this is about potential, and the people who have found the most amazing kind of space have been the ones that have faced this. And I think that was when I realized that opening up is the whole point of the journey. The feeling of mental health is feeling closed. Everything about sort of moving through it is to open where there's closing. That's what I did with my positioning when I started life, was I became closed to a lot of things because of fear. And that closure hurt. And in the opening, it's kind of like, that's where the new space comes. That's where the sense of possibility, that's where the sense of connection is allowed. And so opening up is what it's all about. But it's also important when someone's struggling with mental health is that the person listening is also opening up. And this is the powerful movement that everyone has mental health. Where are you closed? You can open. And if everyone does that, then there's going to be so many beautiful unfoldings, I think.
Do you think that people view you differently now when you're speaking to them and you're talking about your mental health, or they know you know the challenges and the struggles that you face?
Do you know what? I think in this space, I don't think it becomes about how you're viewed. I think it's how you felt. And I think we can all feel this, you know, when you meet certain people in certain environments, you get a sense of something. And there are people that you meet who you get a sense of, I'm okay around you.
Yeah.
And that energetic thing for me has become the secret of everything. It was a secret of performance. Yeah, whatever you want on the outside, you have to match it energetically on the inside. And you can do that, you know, through all the physical means of training, and that's important, through the mental means of aligning, visualization, all that stuff, the emotional needs of coming to the peace, composure and the calm, but also the excitement and the focus, all that stuff. It's all part of that energetic thing. But when you find that balance of wholeness within you, in that energy, you are open, you are allowing, you are not in that judgmental space. There's just an energy about that which allows people to feel immediately like, let's talk. And I base my life on having deep discussions and sharing, because I sort of feel, well, what else are we going to do? You know, there's only so much we can talk about in terms of who's driving what car. But if we get to that depth and you start to exchange on an energetic level, it blows the mind. And suddenly, you know, every day is an opportunity. Every interaction is a possibility. And just being alive is enough.
There's a huge synergy between team sport and the military. And we're delighted to have you as the Defence Mental Health and Wellbeing Network Ambassador. How important was that to you?
It's massive. Yeah, there's... I recognize from my time in what is a contact sport, and especially a sport where you rely so much on the person next to you, and you play that role of realizing, geez, you know, I need to do this in order that I help this person. And, you know, and the opposition are coming at you, and there's this kind of stuff happening. And I've always been ridiculously humbled in the change room beforehand, just by thinking, what must it be like to be doing this in a military setup? It was something that was very interesting to me as a young kid. I was very excited by all things to do with the military. For some reason, that was a real leaning for me, and it was that and kind of sport, and I guess sport kind of took me on that journey. But when you think about what people are going through in that state, the training, the precision, the the ruthless nature of the understandings, it's so important. And people, like you said, pay that price for us, because it's not the price just of going out there and putting your life on the line. It's the price of becoming so trained and conditioned to perform that important role that it can really challenge where you are when you come back, and how you fit in, and how do you relax when your life is about that. I mean, it's bad enough being a rugby player. I didn't relax during the week ever, and I'm playing a game where it's about trophies. And so the respect I have is just utmost. There is no more I could have. And therefore, to, you know, it's an honor. It's also even humbling to think that my messaging, you know, it should be the guys in that space who are doing the talking. But if I'm some sort of lower level kind of ambassador for it, then I'll more than happily open up and share what I can.
Well, we're delighted to, as I say, to that you're able to do that, Rowan. It is hugely appreciated. A couple of quick questions for you from both ends of the scale. So Andre is the welfare officer at Three Rifles. He says, ask him, I'm 42 years old. When is the right time to stop? I've tried and I just can't give up playing rugby.
It's a really good one. I mean, geez, I don't know for anyone what the right thing to do is, but it's intuitive, it's instinctive. And I've always come to this space of trying not to play God on things, you know, and sort of say, oh, I think I should do this. And if you're in the space of thinking about it, it might be a sign that the moment's coming, but it doesn't mean it's now. It just is that sign that says, if I'm starting to have these kind of thoughts, maybe that's coming. But for me, it's always been a case of, I'm going to just keep following my passion until I know. But good for you playing at 42. Jeez.
Let's go to the other end of the spectrum. My nephew, Finlay Scott, is in P4, plays mini rugby for Musselburgh. What advice have you got for the youngsters, for the likes of Finlay? What would you say to them?
I'd say that, I mean, you look at anyone that's been, rightly for me, kind of revered in sport, it's come as a process of learning, not as a process of winning. And most of that learning takes place when you don't win, when things don't go your way. Those are the times when really you want to come alive. Not necessarily that, you know, the learning doesn't place when you're walking around with a trophy and everyone's clapping. That's what reinforcing is called. And also in those moments of learning, it's, you don't have to hammer it home with your mind. Oh, why did I do that? You know, immediately I miss a kick, I know exactly that I've missed it and what I need to do next as soon as I've hit it. The key is you bring your passion, you bring your excitement when you're ready, you relax until that excitement and passion's there and you follow it. Follow excitement and passion. Understand if you're going to do that, you're going to face challenge. And if you're willing to face that challenge, you're going to end up somewhere beautifully special. And winning doesn't bring the challenge. It's the disappointments that do. So find your opportunity, keep bringing your passion, relax and trust when things don't go your way, and really provide that support for each other as a team, not just as an individual. BFBS, the Forces Station.